Today we celebrate the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the epistle is taken from the book of Judith, chapter 13. The Lord has blessed thee by his power, because by thee he has brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, who has directed thee to the cutting off the head of the prince of our enemies, because he has so magnified thy name this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever. For that thou hast not spared thy life by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but hast prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the joy of Israel, thou art the honor of our people. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Taken from Luke chapter 1. At that time Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And how have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, the moment that the sound of thy greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who has believed, because the things promised her by the Lord shall be accomplished. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear faithful, in the story of the chosen people of Israel, the most joyful and glorious event was certainly when the Ark of the Covenant was brought in triumph into Jerusalem. After years of wandering and sojourning, the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, it was brought into its final resting place in the magnificent Temple of Solomon. And it was a glorious day surrounded by great festivals and great pomp, all the wealth and glory of Solomon. And yet that day was nothing compared to the day of the Assumption. What was the glory and the joy in the New Jerusalem, when the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Ark of the New Covenant, the New Testament, when she enters triumphantly into her home, into heaven. She who contained the bread of heaven, she contained the incarnate Word of God, she contained the rod of salvation. She was the new Ark. In the Gospel today, we have this beautiful scene. And St. John the Baptist leaps in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. Just as King David, the first time the Ark was brought into Jerusalem, King David danced before the Ark. And today, St. John the Baptist, as it were, dances before Christ the Savior in the new Ark of the Covenant. St. John the Evangelist, he certainly had this in mind when he wrote the Apocalypse after Our Lady had left this world. In chapter 11, he writes, And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the Ark of the Testament was seen in his temple. Just as Eve was in paradise and was sent out in exile, so in the same way Mary was in exile in the world, but now she's lifted into heaven, to eternal paradise. There is something very ancient and also very new about this Feast of the Assumption. The tradition goes back to apostolic times. It's one of the most vividly clear traditions in the church. And in fact, the first liturgical feast can be traced back to the 5th century. So it's very old. But in more recent times, there was a new enthusiasm and a desire to see this doctrine exalted. In the 19th century, the fathers of the First Vatican Council, they petitioned Pius IX. They begged him to define as dogma of faith the Assumption of Our Lady. And here are the words which they presented to the Holy Father. The pious belief in the bodily assumption of the Blessed Virgin into heaven is strengthened by theological arguments derived from the dignity of the Mother of God, her most sublime virginity, her exceptional holiness, surpassing that of all men and angels, her intimate union and resemblance with Christ, her Son, and the immense love that Son bears his Mother. And the fathers go on to say how the devil had a fourfold victory over the first Eve through sin and concupiscence over her soul and death and corruption over her body. But Our Lady, God foretold that she would crush the head of Satan. And Mary conquered sin and concupiscence at the beginning of her life by her Immaculate Conception. And she conquered death and corruption at the end of her life by her glorious Assumption. This is what the Council Fathers assure His Holiness. And they give the arguments for this. They continue, they say, besides, her Immaculate Conception has most intimate bearing on this matter. If she was free from all stain of sin, she was also free from the punishment for sin. And therefore, she must be free from the decay of the body. Unfortunately, Vatican I ended abruptly, and Pius IX, who, of course, blessed Pius IX, who had a profound devotion to the Mother of God, wasn't able to define this dogma. On May 13th, 1942, in the midst of World War II, 700,000 pilgrims came to the Cova in Fatima, led by all of the prelates of Portugal and the papal nuncio. And just after the cardinal placed the precious crown on the statue of Our Lady, the voice of Pius XII could be heard throughout the whole valley. And here are the words which he spoke to the people of Fatima. Your great concourse, the fervor of your prayers, the thunder of your acclamations, all the holy enthusiasm which vibrates without cease in your hearts, and finally, the sacred rite which in this moment of incomparable triumph has just been performed. Call to our mind another multitude, innumerably greater, other cries of worship far more ardent, other triumphs yet more divine. Another hour solemnly eternal, the endless day of eternity, when the glorious Virgin, triumphantly entering the heavenly homeland, through the nine blessed choirs of angels, was raised to the throne of the Most Holy Trinity. So Pius XII, he tells the people of Fatima that what they're doing today gives them some idea of the glory and the joy in heaven on the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin. World War II was the most terrible war the world has ever seen, but it came to an end on August 15th, 1945. And though Blessed Pius IX was never able to define the dogma, Pius XII would, his successor, on November 1st, 1950. Tens of thousands of pilgrims came to the piazza in Rome for this great day, and again his voice, his infallible voice, could be heard echoing through St. Peter's. Wherefore, after having repeatedly raised to God our suppliant prayers and invoked the light of the Spirit of Truth, to the glory of Almighty God, who lavished on the Virgin Mary his special favors, to the honor of his Son, the immortal King of ages and conqueror of sin and death, to the increase of the glory of the same August Mother, and to the joy and exaltation of the whole Church, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the blessed Apostles Peter and Paul, and our own, we pronounce, declare and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother of God, ever Virgin Mary, was on the completion of her earthly life, assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. If only the popes today would speak with such authority and such clarity and such strength. On the completion of her earthly life. And what was the earthly life of the Blessed Virgin Mary? We could summarize her earthly life, her external earthly life, in three words: ordinary, hidden, and laborious. That was the earthly life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. What a contrast, the humble maiden of Galilee, living this life in Nazareth, waking up early, preparing the food, doing dishes, sweeping the floor, living a hard life of a poor woman during those times. What a contrast to that life and to the glory of her Assumption. When the very angels say, "Quae es ista?" Who is this? Who is she who comes forth as the morning rising? As fair as the moon, as bright as the sun, as terrible as an army set in array. It's really something greater than any fairy tale, greater than Cinderella, greater than Beauty and the Beast. This humble, poor maiden is now the Queen of Heaven and the Queen of Angels. Ordinary, hidden, and laborious. Dear faithful, in this at least we can imitate the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our lives will probably be ordinary, probably be hidden, and will most certainly be laborious. But if we live our life in union with her and with her help, we too will follow her to glory, to our own homeland, to our own home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.